Welcome to the UK Investor Magazine podcast, the latest on shares, markets and investments, now available on your Amazon Alexa.
Hello and welcome to the UK Investor Magazine podcast, now also available on the UK Investor Magazine mobile app. For today's podcast, we're going to be taking a deep dive into Panda Tech Industry. It's a revolutionary service and has introduced the concept of Dine Now, Pay Later. And to do that, we're very kindly joined today by Duncan Nyanzi, who is the founder and CEO of Panda Tech Industries. Duncan, thank you very much for being on the podcast today.
Fantastic. No, thank you so much for having me. And I'm excited to see how we can get this out to the people.
It's the whole new concept of Dine Now, Pay Later, Duncan. I understand it's the first in the UK. And I'm sure we're going to be discussing that in more detail on the podcast. But before we get into it, to set the scene here from a very top level, please, can you describe Panda in one sentence to listeners, please?
Yeah, fantastic. Yeah, so essentially, when I was looking to start doing Panda, I looked around and I saw there was a lot of sort of pubs and businesses within this industry closing down at a very rapid stage. And I thought, what can we do to help those business owners really strive in this industry? So we thought about setting up a company that can save them money in terms of their operational costs, as well as incentivize customers to go out and spend more, thus helping them raise more revenue. So we did Panda, and what Panda essentially is, it's a fintech company, the first one in the UK, to give customers a fintech layer with a tech stack to help them spend more money when they visit bars and restaurants within the UK. We essentially save businesses money by streamlining their operational costs via our stack. So rather than having four different technologies for like payment, for advertising, for marketing and CRM, you have one tech stack. Therefore, you save money and spend less on all those stack by paying just one monthly cost. And then for our customer, they have a way to discover venues and restaurants and to book them and obviously to pay. But also within that, we've embedded a fintech layer for them to be able to borrow money on the app and then use it as well.
Thank you. Thank you very much. So I understand there's already 200 venues on the waiting list, ready for launch. What do these look like, Duncan? What type of venues are they? If you could sort of build out a picture for listeners. And what does the interaction look like? If I'm a restaurant or a venue and I'm going to be adopting Panda, how am I going to be working that into my day-to-day workflows?
Yeah, fantastic. Yeah, so essentially what we're trying to do is to launch it via the student market. So we're basically targeting a lot of like university towns. So we're doing Leeds, we're doing Bristol, we're doing sort of Nottinghamshire. And what we're doing, we've gone to these businesses around town. We're like, listen, we've got this great idea that we're trying to do. Do you want to be part of it? We have this fintech layer that will make sure that students around here can come to you and spend more than what they normally would do. And what we found out that they're very keen to encourage people to eat out more or to go out for sort of like socially in bigger numbers. And we managed to get almost 200 venues to kind of pre-register to go live with us when we do go live later on in the year, in a couple of weeks, actually. And so it means that we have people on the ground who visit these venues, then they onboard them. We find out where are they lacking in terms of customer acquisition? How can we help increase the foothold within their businesses? And it's been really great to understand their needs. And what we do, obviously, with that information, we really look at it and say, okay, we can help this business by making sure that we direct the right amount of people within that business in that area. So as a business itself, it's very easy to be on board on Panda. It's essentially a click and play plugin system. We just kind of find out who you're using in terms of your POS system, and then you're good to go. It's really, really, very easy. It takes about 5 minutes, and once you're on board, you can then upload your menus. You're then fully discoverable by the clients or customers that are trying to discover you, and then off you go.
Perfect. Thank you for that explanation. And the UK is crying out for something like this at the moment. As you've mentioned, Duncan, there's a huge amount of venues and pubs closing down. And you know what you're setting out to do is to look at students and get that midweek trade going. So I remember to the years back when I was a student,
yeah,
you know, that you know, the midweek in Liverpool where I went to university is very much dominated by students and the lifeblood of revenue for those venues, pubs, clubs, whatever it may be during that week. So thank you very much for the explanation there of how you're interacting with your potential customers there in the venues. What does the business model look like, Duncan? How do you generate cash from your services?
Yeah, I mean, essentially we would charge a fee for every transaction that's going to go through the Panda app tech infrastructure. We'd want to be really understanding because we understand businesses are struggling. We know that they're paying a lot of high rates in terms of business costs. Obviously, there's also staff costings as well, and also, you know, the living crisis as well. So we're trying to go at a really favorable rate for businesses. I think currently, I think like Uber is charged like 30%, which is really ridiculous to me. So we'll be doing a fee of basically 6% of the total bill that goes through PandaTech. And then obviously, if a customer uses Panda credit to pay for their meal or drink, whatever it may be, we'll charge an additional merchant fee on that simply because we enabled them to spend through the app where normally they wouldn't have been able to do that. So we're going to charge a transaction fee. And then also there'll be like a small B2B SaaS fee as well for businesses to basically access the entire platform, access all the tools they need to be able to run their businesses via Panda.
So that sounds very good idea for venues to get involved. Because am I correct in thinking, Duncan, that most of the fee, when you're talking about the 6% there of the bill, that's very much based on a transaction, which obviously the venue securing a bill there from the customers. So it's based on performance as opposed to sort of, you know, upfront fee. Oh, yes. So it's okay. I think that's very good.
Yeah, yeah. So it's basically a 6% on the total bill that's going through Panda. Obviously, after the customer's obviously ordered a drink or food or whatever, yeah, it is.
Exactly. So a venue's not paying anything.
No.
Apart from the B2B SaaS fee. Until they get somebody in the door, in the restaurant, in the pub, buying drinks, buying food.
Absolutely. Absolutely right.
Absolutely. Perfect. Okay. So, we can see the scalability there for the model. So you've mentioned there Panda credits.
Yeah.
And of course, I mentioned at the beginning that you've introduced and coined the term Dine Now, Pay Later.
Yes, we have.
So this is obviously where Panda Credit comes in. So let's talk about this, if we may, in a little bit more detail.
For sure.
Duncan, how does that work? How do you interact with customers there? How what's the transaction process look like there behind the Panda Credit?
Yeah, so I think obviously a lot of businesses within this industry are still sort of like lagging behind the pre-pandemic level of revenue. And I think a lot of customers are much more careful how they spend their money, how often they go out. And I think everyone's trying to be a bit more careful, you know, in how they use their spare cash. And I think what I'm trying to do is kind of I've looked around to see, well, how has retail done this in the last 3 to 5 years? And what they've done mostly is basically utilize buy now, pay later. But buy now, pay later, as it is currently, it works great for like online purchases. So in retail, but it's very different to do that in real life purchasing, like, you know, like say in a restaurant, so to speak. So what we've done is I looked around to see what's the sort of finance companies were around who kind of may fit what Panda is trying to do. And then how can we best then mold that to suit the real life experiences when you're actually out there paying for things as you go, you know? So we approached a company called SteadyPay. They're well-versed. They're FCA regulated in the UK, and we kind of spoke to them over a long period of time. How can we create a product that we can use on our platform to help businesses actually make more money in the long term? And therefore, we create Panda Credit. It's really easy to use. Once you log on to Panda, you kind of like almost like pre-approved once you sign up, and then it tells you, oh, by the way, if Duncan, you can borrow up to £300 if you want to or not. It's entirely up to you, but it's there already embedded. And then let's say you want to use it, you can just press use Panda Credit for payment option, and then the venue gets the payment straight away. The customer knows how much they've spent, and then over the next 3 months they can either spend all of it or not, and then they can pay back in small increments payments every single month.
Fantastic, thank you. So just to confirm, Duncan,
yeah,
there isn't an obligation to use Panda Credit. People can just go in and pay their bills in cash through the Panda app. Is that correct?
Absolutely. You can use your normal debit card or credit card. Panda Credit is there as another layer, just in case you're feeling a bit, you know, maybe this month is tight and maybe you've got a birthday party to go to, a wedding, you know, those kind of social meetups where, I can't go because I can't quite afford it. Here, we just want to give you a helping hand to be able not to miss out on those social occasions with your social circles and still be able to take part in that environment as well.
Thank you. And that's a good point. I think you just want to clarify there. So, you know, we've discussed in some detail about the venues, the restaurants, the bars, what it means for them. But let's look at the other side of this. And of course, it's the students. It's the core user group you've earmarked for the Panda app, and rightly so, given the problem that you're trying to fix out there. What's the feedback that you've had, Duncan? What research have you done into this market?
Yeah.
And I think, what are the main benefits? I think you have touched on it, but I think it'd be good if you could underline those. Now, what are the main benefits for students from using Panda? Of course, there's the credit there, but in terms of the functionality of the app, what do they like about it the most?
Of course, yeah. So I think what we did do last year in around November time, we took quite market research where we spoke to almost 400 students in around universities around the UK. We kind of went into detail about what Panda is trying to do. We're trying to obviously give you Panda Credit, but also give you a really good app that is very curated towards students' needs in terms of midweek offers, in terms of last minute deals, and so on and so forth. And we sort of went also on campuses and really understood what they're looking for in terms of how can we make their lives obviously easier in terms of their social environment, but also doing it in a way that is actually safe, and we're not trying to obviously pile more debt onto students as well. So,
what we, of course,
100%, yeah. So, and we got really good feedback. Almost 98% of students were really keen on to use Panda, and I think what we realized, we thought, well, how are they going to pay for this if they're only students? But then we realized actually, as of last year, almost 60% of students do have sort of like a part-time job here and there. And Panda will just be like a little top-up on their weekly when they're feeling short of some kind of finances. So we realized there is a little market there for students. And also, and actually, Panda is open to everyone ready to use. But we're trying to target students as our go-to-market strategy because they're in need of this search of this app. But we got really good feedback in terms of using it in midweek to get student offers, to get student discounts, but also to use Panda Credit in terms of enabling a little bit more financial income and stability. And also just how well the app was designed. It's very kind of friendly, it's easy to navigate. So we got a really good rounded feedback on that.
Thank you very much, Duncan. So you're on Crowdcube at the moment, and I would note to listeners, do check out the notes to this podcast because there'll be a link through to the Panda Tech Industries crowdfunding page on Crowdcube. You have to get more information, get the pitch deck and such like on there. But let's look at the bigger picture now.
Yes.
Please, if we may, Duncan, you're setting out, it seems like every week this is something that's being covered on the news in terms of the nightlife in the UK, pubs, bars, clubs closing down. Mm. There's a real problem here, and it's going to become a bigger problem if it's not addressed. And I think Panda could be the part of the solution to help the UK nightlife in a big way. So if we break that down and we look at that dream for Panda, what would you highlight to potential investors in terms of your vision and where you want to go?
Yeah, I think essentially to start off with, we want to create a company, a fintech infrastructure, a tech company that will help almost is the decline of our high street. We want to bring pubs back in a way that is sustainable. We want to make sure that someone can open an independent shop in Devon and actually survive beyond the seasonal tourist period. We want people to be easily discovered wherever they may be in the UK. That's our first number one goal that we want to do. And beyond that, we want to make sure that we use Panda as an anchor to actually something more long-term in terms of building a really great tech within this industry, whereby we can scale the tech beyond our shores, beyond the UK. We're going to do Europe as well at some point. We want to make sure that we are the number one app for young people and millennials in terms of going out. we want before you go out, before you leave your house, you go on Panda, you see where you want to go and use it from the inception of wanting to leave your house to actually paying for the bill. So we want to own the entire customer journey within one single app. And I think we are working hard with my dev team who are based in Portugal and the UK. We're building a really great stack that we think will help our customers in terms of our business customers. And also we want to build an app that actually is user-friendly to also our B2C customers who can use the app in a way that really makes their life better. We want to improve their lives in terms of access to funds in situations where they might otherwise not go out, which will eventually help the industry as a whole moving forward.
Indeed. Very, very interesting. Thank you very much, Duncan. So I would reiterate again, do check out the notes to this podcast. Follow the link through to the crowdfunding page and you'll be able to find a little bit more information there about the raise, the specifics of it, and a bit more about the business plan around Panda to really illustrate the points that Duncan has so kindly made today. So Duncan, thank you very much for being on the podcast.
Thank you so much. I appreciate all your time. I really enjoyed it as well.
Yes, really enjoyed having you on, Duncan, and thank you very much to everyone for listening. Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the UK Investor Magazine podcast. Please do share the podcast, and we really value any reviews and comments you leave us in your chosen podcast player. The views presented by the hosts and guests of the UK Investor Magazine podcast are in no way investment advice, and please remember all investment involves risk.